message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. The Hebrew prophets often compared themselves as watchmen stationed upon the city walls or in a tower, thus enabling them to see and to warn of approaching danger. The prophet Habakkuk, however, places himself apart on the watchtower to await God's reply to his perplexing problem. God at last unveils his consoling answer in a universal spiritual principle applicable to all men in all places and at all times. The righteous shall live by his faith. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Habakkuk stands unique among the Hebrew prophecies. Instead of speaking directly to the people, Habakkuk records a dialogue between himself and God. His prophecy is unsurpassed in the Hebrew scriptures for beauty and literary quality. In Habakkuk's time, things nationally and internationally were ripening to a crisis. Iniquity was abounding in Judah and Jerusalem. The prophet was grieved. His sorrow moved him to a holy anger against the prosperity of the wicked. The inability of the righteous to change things distressed him. What perplexed Habakkuk's exercised heart greatest, however, was the seeming indifference and silence of the God of Israel. Habakkuk confronts the ever-present problem of evil. He is the man who believes and questions. He knows the answer is in God himself. Why, then, does God permit this evil to continue? Habakkuk pleads, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? The law is ignored. The wicked surround the righteous. Justice comes out perverted." Thus the prophet describes the reprobate scene right in the very midst of God's covenant people. The apparent indifference of God to this condition of internal chaos could be a problem only to the man who possessed some faith. For if there is no God, then there is no problem. But God is not indifferent, and he is not slack. The Lord answers, "Look among the nations, observe. I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people. They will sweep through the land, but they will be held guilty." God declares through this oracle that justice is going to be administered by a new and rising power among the nations, the Chaldeans. If the hearts of the prophet Habakkuk and the godly remnant in Judah are stirred over the prevalence of violence and iniquity, God is concerned much more deeply. Sin would not go unpunished. God is at work most emphatically. But men will scarcely believe its unusual working. The Lord points to the trends and events on the scene of world history. The sword would enter the land of Judah to avenge the quarrel of God's holiness. Hearing this, the prophet Habakkuk is greatly alarmed. He now understands that God will deal soon with this apostate condition of Judah and Jerusalem. Since God is in complete control of world history, he will destroy afterwards the Chaldeans who regard their own strength as their God. This answer to Habakkuk's inquiry, however, produced an even more perplexing moral question. How is it, the prophet inquires, that a pure and holy God can use such an impure and unholy instrument to afflict the covenant people? The prophet's soul may be grieved most exceedingly over the evil ways of his people, but he is unprepared for this revelation. In deepest fear because of the sins of Israel, and in strongest affection for his people, the prophet Habakkuk appeals to the God of Israel. He waxes most eloquent as a skillful advocate for Judah. He reminds us of the intercession by Moses for Israel when they had worshipped the golden calf in the very shadows of Mount Sinai. The prophet Habakkuk pleads against the Chaldeans. He asks for a special display of God's grace that this terrible scourge be for correction and not for destruction. He appeals to the very character of God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, hast appointed them to judge, and thou, O Rock, hast established them to correct. Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou canst not look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why art thou silent when the wicked swallowed up those more righteous than they? Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? The prophet Habakkuk understands that the very nature of Israel's covenant-keeping God will not permit a complete destruction of his people. God must punish, however, all ungodliness in Israel and in the enemy. The prophet employs, as a representative of his people, the familiar names of God as Holy One and Rock. By faith, the prophet declares, we will not die. Habakkuk continues his plea against the Chaldeans in a figurative style to demonstrate their callousness. The Chaldeans take captive in the same manner that fisherman conducts his trade. His hooks, nets, and actions represent the weapons and methods as well as the attitudes of the Chaldeans. They accomplish their military goals without any glory given to God. They boast of their own strength, wisdom, and accomplishments. Surely God cannot permit this to continue. Thus the prophet Habakkuk brings his distressing perplexity and doubts to God. The prophet will now station himself in spirit to await God's answer. The prophet declares, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. The Hebrew prophets often compared themselves to watchmen stationed upon the city walls or in a tower, thus enabling them to see and to warn of approaching danger. Habakkuk, however, has placed himself apart on the watchtower to await God's reply to his perplexing inquiry. And the prophet's watchful waiting shall be rewarded. God unveils his consoling answer by presenting some important facts. The Lord also gives a tremendously vital spiritual principle that is applicable to all men in all places at all times. The righteous shall live by his faith. As the prophet Habakkuk listens, God begins his answer. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Habakkuk is to write clearly the vision or prophecy to be given. The one reading it was to run to proclaim it. The fulfillment, however, was to be delayed, though it would progress to accomplishment at God's appointed time. There is no deception or disappointment. All most certainly will come to pass. Now with this build-up and commitment, the Lord gives the main text or crucial statement of his answer. God declares, Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. God is saying that during the time between the giving of the prophecy and its ultimate realization, the man of unbelief will increase in pride, ripening himself for the judgment of God. This will express itself in arrogance and ruthlessness. The one, however, who would please God and live must do so by faith. The word in the Hebrew indicates reliability and loyalty. He is the man who both trusts and is to be trusted. It involves a personal reliance upon or commitment to God's revealed word. This relationship of faith between the man and God issues in a life that possesses genuine meaning. Believe God and live. The prophet now gives a series of judgments or woes to various classes of evildoers from the Lord. While the Chaldeans are mainly in view, the woes are, however, to all who are greedy, to all who live in self-security and self-exaltation, to all who profit from advantage over the weaknesses and misfortunes of others, to all who use strong drink and other means to induce perversion, and to all who rely upon and worship other gods and idols. This prophecy attests to two truths. First, the Lord God rules not only over Israel, but over all the nations. And secondly, the righteous shall live by his faith. The oracle finally declares, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Individuals in Israel and all the nations need to be silent before him. We need to hear, to heed his word and live. "Search the scriptures," declared Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. "It is these that bear witness of me. Will you believe and live?"